You are listening to Tales Yet Told, an actual play show dealing in horrific and often heavy topics and themes at the intersection of queerness and horror. Content warnings, list of cast and crew, and other relevant links can be found in the description. Viewer discretion is advised.
October 5th, 85 AE. Dear Diary, so I need to do some digging. I couldn't stop thinking about what the system accused me of yesterday. I feel like I would remember if I wrote a story about a second sun rising into the sublime. If just kind of feels like a thing you'd remember, right? But if the system says I did, then I probably did. The system is never wrong about these kinds of things, which only gives us two possibilities. Either I wrote this purple sun into a story in a fugue state in the writer's room and completely forgot about it, which is a pretty troubling prospect in its own right, so I don't really want to entertain the idea. Or this is the fallout of a previous story, an unforeseen consequence past the not-so-happy ending, which happens more often than you'd think. I've written thousands of stories over the years, planting seeds to watch gardens grow. It's fascinating how a story evolves over time, how it changes, how it grows, how it spreads. Take our troublemakers, for instance. One day, they're bumbling around a diner trying to get home, and a couple of days later, they're being accused of a terrorist attack that's killed or transformed dozens of people in a town now surrounded by a hedge labyrinth. You never know where a story is going to take you. And thus, the digging. I need to look through some of my old stories, check in on where those characters have gone, what they're doing now, and maybe I'll find that the source of this second sun is merely just an old story bearing new fruit.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Tales Yet Told, an actual play podcast focused on collaboratively telling stories at the intersection of queerness and horror using indie TTRPGs. My name is Kendrick Kendo, whichever you prefer, and with me today for the first time is Nathan.
This is one of those that just hit me in this moment of like, oh, I'm hearing a Tales Yet Told intro actively in the moment. Like I'm in this one.
You're here.
Hi Kendo. Hi listeners. It's me, Nathan.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited for this.
Me too.
You and I have been talking about this one for a hot second. A few seconds.
Absolutely. And every one of them have been hot. I can confirm that.
I've had to take off all my clothes because it was so hot in here.
I mean, there's a few reasons for that, let's be honest. It's not just the summer heat, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. That is up for the listener's imagination.
Exactly. But the reason why we're gathered here today is because today we are playing Dream Investigator by, hey, Nathan, you made this game.
That's me. I did that.
You did this one. Tell people about your game if they haven't heard of Dream Investigator before.
Thank you. Thank you again for letting me, inviting me, to be clear. It wasn't that I came to beg. You know, I'm not too proud to beg, but to be clear, I was invited. Okay. I'm supposed to be here by Kendo.
You're supposed to be here.
But thank you so much for inviting me to come and noodle about this weird little game for a little bit and be a part of Tales Yet Told. So first and foremost, wanted to say that. But Dream Investigator is the first game that I've ever put out, and is also, I think this is the first time I've ever actually spent a good amount of time talking about it, not in social media posts. So we'll see how this pitch goes. Hope you listening at home find it interesting and not blathering.
I think you got this.
Dream Investigator is a solo-ish, journaling-ish game that's basically about slowing down, getting into a creative state of mind, trusting your intuition, and then reflecting a little bit on what you created. The premise of the game is that you are an agent of the mysterious, all capital letters, Bureau, no further information provided, and you are tasked with exploring your own subconscious to find whatever wonderful, weird, horrible, scary, and heartwarming things that may or may not be in there. Really, it's kind of a game that's just about, trusting yourself to make and enjoy something. It's a lot about pausing and breathing and creating without knowing what you're creating and kind of just enjoying. The idea was spawned during the 2025 David Lynch Game Jam, and the basic design goal is basically crash Mad Libs with weird vivid dreams and create something weird and then meditate about it. This experience is going to be a little bit more probably linear and adversarial than the base game. I think you'll get a good taste of it, hopefully.
Yeah, because we're taking your game that was meant for people to sit down, spend some time with mm-hmm. themselves and really, think about and be able to like reflect on these aspects of their subconscious words that they've created out of the ether and seeing that meshed mm-hmm. with something else and try to gain something from that. And in typical Tales Yet Told fashion, I have turned that into some kind of capitalistic corporate horror in which you are still my character will still be reflecting on those dreams in some way, truly what matters more, quote unquote, to the narrative is what the company who is specifically asking for this information would like to use it for.
To be clear, the bureau in the game, at least at face value, seems to be a fairly nice, benevolent organization, is very, very thankful for you for participating in this. I imagine in my brain, not at all capitalistic or maybe even government owned. And it's very nice, really, actually. whereas this one is... Well, we'll see. We'll play to find out, as they say.
We play to find out what happens. Because we're not going to be doing a lot of mechanics talk in the game, because it's not really one where you do it. In fact, technically, we'll be playing the game. Not really. I was going to say it's raw because you're supposed to record it and then listen back to it and reflecting. And I will be doing that to a certain degree, but it's not necessarily the most rules as written.
Yeah, I would say that the version that we've kind of concocted has the major elements of it, just in some reordered ways and in some differently flavored kind of ways. It is a game designed to be played over multiple sessions. There are, in the base game, are 7 different investigations kind of available. And it is just truly, it starts with a lot of deep breathing, a lot of setting the mood with music, with candles, with whatever it is that you kind of need to enter into that space of mind. And then just rapid fire free associations where it's like, hey, Kendo, give me a verb. Give me an adverb. Give it to me. Noun, but it starts with an S. Like, whatever. And that is all the information you get. And then you take those answers, you put them in to a Mad Libs style, weird, surreal, Lynchian, written thing. And then you see what you came up with. And sometimes you get weird, funny results that are very goofy. Sometimes you're like, oh, holy shit, this makes me think of my second grade teacher who did this one thing this one time that has been a recurring nightmare for me for a long time. And then you just spend some time with yourself thinking about it, thinking about what you did, thinking about what came up, how it makes you feel, trying to look at maybe this very scary thing, this very weird thing, this very goofy thing, this very nonsensical thing maybe, and trying to find your own meaning in this strange piece of art that we have created together. And that is hopefully what Kendo and I will be doing here this recording session.
Hell yeah. So with that, let's get into it.
Yes. Adverb ending in ly.
Swiftly.
Emotion.
Joy.
Noun, an object.
Car.
He, she, or they.
He.
Noun, body part.
Me.
Noun, feeling.
Outraged.
Your name.
Felix.
An order given by an authority figure.
Stand down.
Verb ending in S.
Jogs.
Descriptor of height.
Short.
Verb.
Shouts.
Noun. Animal.
Fox.
Noun. Different animal.
Eagle.
Adjective.
Grimy.
Emotion or feeling.
Puzzled.
Different emotion or feeling.
Sad.
Different emotion or feeling.
Morose.
Noun, someone who misbehaves.
Delinquent.
Color.
Red.
Would or would not.
Would.
Noun, your favorite subject in school.
Chemistry.
Noun, emotion or feeling.
Pissed off.
Plural noun.
Socks.
Descriptive adjective.
Beautiful.
Verb you do when you are emotional.
Cry.
Comparative adjective.
Younger.
Verb.
Shoots.
Emotion.
Regret.
Verb. A type of sound.
Wail.
Type of parental and or authority figure. Noun.
Dad.
This is Agent Seeker, 7B14, continuing my investigation into the case file QBF020, entry number 26. Speaking on the record. The subject of this entry is dream analysis, acquired by Capricorn Pharmaceuticals R&D Department as an extension of Operation Morpheus to attain additional biographical information about target Loud Fox. This entry is part 1 of 3. In accordance with Operation Morpheus protocol, the R&D department also sent over a list of questions for me to answer about the attached recording. These two will be a part of my entry. Now beginning dream analysis.
Hello, subject. Please, come in and have a seat.
Yeah, sure.
Hello, how are you today?
Good. I'm tired, I guess. Otherwise good.
Thank you for sharing. Before we begin, can you please confirm your organization-issued call sign?
Flighty Duck.
Thank you. Next, can you please provide your chosen code word or code phrase?
Dead in the water.
Thank you. Before we proceed, I would like to advise you that your name and other personal identifiers are not a part of this process, and divulging that information outside of the scope of the dreamscape is not advised and may expel you from the experiment. Do you understand?
Yes, I understand.
Thank you. My name is Dr. Robert Jennings, and I will be serving as your visualization anchor today. We really appreciate your willingness to participate in all of this very important research.
Yeah, can we just get this over with?
Thank you. Before we begin, I need to confirm a few final biographical details. Do you understand and consent?
Yes, I consent.
Thank you. What is your age?
27.
What is your current residence? And please note, this is related to the region of the Sublime that you are located in, not your home address, which has been and should remain redacted.
Okay, I guess the city name fine?
However you interpret this question.
Fine. I live in Walton, I guess, like, north side Walton, over by the library.
Thank you. What is your current diagnosis and estimated remaining life expectancy?
I'm cursed, turning into a skunk, and, well, like, Doc gave me 7 months, 3 months ago, so I guess 4 left.
Thank you, and I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, whatever.
Have you been on the proprietary CBP medication known as Ketagard for at least 1 calendar week, but no more than 3 calendar weeks?
Yeah, I've been on it for, like, what, a week and a half? Like, 12 days, something like that?
Thank you. That's great. Have you experienced any particularly vivid dreams since taking Ketagard?
It's kind of, yeah. I mean, weird. I don't usually dream, but I had a dream last night. Doc said, like, the doctors told me, like, I would have, like, dreams, and it was kind of weird that, like, for a while I just wasn't, but, yes.
Thank you.
Last night.
Did you dream last night?
Yes, that's what I just said.
Please describe your dream to me in as much detail as possible, leaving nothing, no matter how personal or embarrassing it may be, out of your retelling.
Really? Why the fuck do you need to know my... Whatever, no.
Whenever you are ready.
Okay, yeah. Well, I don't know. I think it started off with me... I was doing something, I think. I don't know what it was, but I was doing something. Then I stopped what I was doing. My teacher was looking directly at me, swiftly, like, and we lock eyes. And I'm filled with joy. My hands holding the car fall to my sides. He taps his knee in outrage. Felix, the teacher says, stand down. And the rest of the class jogs. He is so short that I feel like I can't shout. I don't know if that makes, like, it's... And then everyone's eyes are on me. And the teacher says, that's how a fox behaves. You want to grow up to be a fox or an eagle? It's like, what the fuck does that mean?
I cannot provide any feedback or interpretation of your dream resuscitation.
Yeah, whatever.
Subject, briefly, in the dream, did you reply in the affirmative or negative to that question?
I said, yeah.
Please continue.
Like, it, his words, they sounded, it sounds grimy to hear myself say that, as if someone else said it, and I'm immediately puzzled, and then sad, and then both, and then more. My teacher looks down at me morosely. He says, go to the delinquent corner. He says, pointing to this. My forehead hovers next to the wall as I slouch and stare into those red corner. And I can't see what's happening behind me. I would turn around if I could, which I can't. I know I can't turn around. Behind me, the chemistry lesson continues despite the whispers. Everyone knows all the answers. It pisses me off. I sneak a glance at the nearby window. The socks I see are so beautiful. I cry in the corner. I wait. The whispers get younger sounding underneath the questions and answers and learning. And I want to hear what they're saying so badly. Like, are they talking about me? About what I did? About me being in the delinquent corner? They all shoot at me. But they're not better than me. I'm saying they're regretful. I bear it. Eventually, the bell wails. When I get home, my dad asks me what I did.
Subject, what did your dad do next?
He left us.
Thank you. Subject Flighty Duck, thank you for participating in today's survey. Additional instructions will be provided.
Thanks. Do I get more of the stuff, or...
That is the end of this week's session. We'll see you in 1 week's time. Please pick up additional refills of the medication at the front desk outside.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Beginning post-stream analysis.
Question one. What did you like about this dream?
I don't have any personal feelings about this dream. However, as it pertains to the investigation, things that I liked about this dream were the things that pointed towards a 60 to perhaps 75% accurate target acquisition. There is enough information here, such as the mentioning of foxes, the isolation during a period of time that seems to be their childhood at the points in which they were at school, their lack of academic success during that period of time, and the leaving of their father at the end of the dream are all indicators that the primary perspective of the dream is from Target Loud Fox. It is also helpful that these dreams are from a first-person perspective and also give us emotional information to perhaps build a more solid emotional map for Target Loud Fox.
Question two, what stood out to you?
The dreamer's ability to experience the emotions of the perspective that they take in the dream allows us to build a more nuanced picture of the target. Loud Fox seems to experience shame, isolation, both from their peers and authority figures in their life and family members as well. The dreamer made mention of being in a car while the rest of the students were jogging, which could be signifying a sense of superiority or, at the very least, a sense of having a greater ability than the rest of their peers, but still feeling shame, guilt, and isolation because of those supposedly superior abilities. The target is isolated because they are so much better, or perhaps they move faster, since cars move faster than jogging, while not necessarily being a superior mode of transportation, though potentially is more superior depending on the situation.
Question three. Were there any moments that seemed unintuitive or unnatural? What might those unusual moments say?
There's a singular color that is mentioned within this dream, and that is the color red. It is the wall that the dreamer says that they are looking at when they are put into the delinquent corner. Red typically is symbolical color, meaning anger, passion, blood, or violence. And that being the case, it makes sense that Loud Fox would hone in on this emotion and this feeling amidst the scorn of their peers and authority figures. Now, would this be enough to push Loud Fox over the edge and commit harm against other people or take advantage of them? That is yet to be shown.
Question four. Do you see reflections of your reality in the dream?
Speaking on a personal note, I knew children like this when I was in school. There are a lot of children who come from outside of the sublime and into the sublime and have problems fitting in and having problems assimilating at that period of time in their life. their emotions are deregulated, their sense of stability almost nothing, which makes sense for children going through the re-education process. I have seen these children before in my own life, amongst the children of my friends, and amongst those I see on the street. If the dreamer was in fact taking the perspective of Loud Fox, then I would go as far as to say that Loud Fox's experience is not unique to them in the sublime.
Question 5. Do you think the dream says anything about you?
I do not have any reason to believe that this dream has anything to say about me at this time.
Question 6. Who do you want to tell about this dream? Is anything stopping you?
I do not have any need at this time to tell anyone other than my superiors about this dream, which I am doing so with the entry that I am currently recording.
Question 7. Do you wish the dream kept going? If so, what would you have liked to see happen?
I believe the dream stopped exactly when it needed to for the information that it was giving us. If it had kept going, I would say I would have liked to see anything about the perspective's other parent. That would then give us even more information to work off of to get to a 100% ID for this dream analysis.
Question 8. What would you change about this dream?
There is nothing that I would necessarily want to change about this dream. Rather, if there was a situation where I could change the reality that inspired this dream, I would rather see a situation in which a child was being supported by their teacher rather than being ridiculed. But that is on a personal note.
Question 9. What are you taking with you?
For this part of this entry, I am taking with me that the dream analysis seems to have locked in on the target in the way that Operation Morpheus had been hoping. My hope is that parts 2 and 3 of this entry will give us even more information to get a 100% ID on the target while also providing biographical information or any identifying information about Loud Fox's associates and perhaps identifying a motive for wanting to work with anarchists.
Question 10. What do you want to leave behind?
There is information in this dream that I am not sure is necessarily useful for this investigation, such as the difference between a fox and an eagle. Such concepts are mostly in the realm of speculation that I do not have time to dabble in.
Question 11. What is this dream titled?
For the purposes of this investigation, I will be titling this dream The Delinquent Corner.
Question 12. What do you need to do to recover from this experience?
There is nothing that I need at this time to recover from this experience. And that is the conclusion of the post-dream analysis. Commenters note, I will be titling this entry 26A to represent that there are multiple parts to this entry. Parts 2 and 3 will be titled 26B and 26C, respectively. End note. And with that, I conclude entry 26A for submission to case file QBF020.
Verb regarding moving your body.
Dragging.
Verb ending in S.
Skulks.
Descriptive adjective.
Plain.
Emotion.
Grief.
Ascent or descent?
Descent.
Adverb.
Deliberately.
Ascend or descend?
Descend.
Adjective. Uncomfortable.
Filthy.
Descriptive adjective.
Strange.
A second descriptive adjective.
Dark.
Choose one of the following. Nod. Shake my head. Say nothing.
Say nothing.
Descriptive adjective.
Graceful.
Color.
Red.
Noun.
Tree.
Feeling or emotion.
Bitterness.
Adjective.
Cool.
Verb.
Run.
Yes or no?
No.
Do or do not?
Do.
Noun, source of light.
Candle.
Verb, action of a face.
Fall.
Adjective.
Long term.
Noun, body part.
Knee.
Short or long?
Long.
Do or do not?
Do.
Noun, object that fits in a hand.
Dice.
Descriptive adjective.
Calm.
Noun, body part.
Finger.
Descriptive adjective.
Safe.
Verb.
Jump.
Feeling.
Love.
Adjective.
Bright.
Noun, parental title.
Mother.
This is Agent Seeker 7B14 continuing my investigation into case file QBF020, entry 26B. Speaking on the record. Capricorn Pharmaceuticals have sent over part 2 of 3 of the dream analysis work as an extension of Operation Morpheus. Commenter's note. In the future, I would prefer if multi-part files were sent at the same time. End note. In accordance with Operation Morpheus Protocol, the R&D department also sent over a list of questions for me to answer about the attached recording. These two will be a part of my entry. Beginning analysis.
Hello, subject Flighty Duck. Please come in.
You again. Okay.
Before we begin, can you please confirm your organization issued call sign?
Flighty Duck. Just said it.
Thank you. Can you provide your chosen code word or code phrase?
Dead in the water.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I will again advise you that your name is not a part of this process, and the divulging of your name outside the scope of the dreamscape is not advised, and may expel you from the experiment. Do you understand?
Yes, I get it. Do you have to do this every time?
Thank you. As a reminder, my name is Dr. Robert Jennings, and I will serve as your visualization anchor for today. Thank you once more for your continued participation in this trial. Before we begin, I need to confirm a few biographical details. Do you understand and consent?
Yes, I consent. I know I can't give any specifics about anything. Just...
Thank you. What is your age?
27.
What is your current residence? Please note, this is your region in the Sublime, not home address, which has been and should remain redacted.
Yes, yeah, I live in Walton. Is that good enough, or do you need more specifics than that?
Whatever the prompt brings to mind for you.
Walton.
What is your current diagnosis and estimated remaining life expectancy?
I'm cursed. Turning into a skunk. I have 4 months.
Thank you. I'm so sorry to hear that. Have you been on the proprietary CBP medication known as Ketagard for at least 2 calendar weeks, but no more than 4 calendar weeks?
Yes, I've been on it for 19 days.
Thank you. Have you continued to experience particularly vivid dreams since taking Ketagard?
Yes. Yeah. I have. I assume you want to know about it.
I most certainly do. However, I have a few more questions first.
Oh, okay.
What mood are you in?
A little irritated, having to do this every time I come here. I mean, you already have the information, so it feels like, you know, you should know, right?
Do you need to do anything else to get in your preferred headspace to make this a meaningful experience?
What? To make... What do you... No, I'm good. I just want to get it over with.
Do you have time to take care of yourself afterwards? If not, how can you make time?
What the fuck are... Okay. Do I have... Sure, yeah. I was planning on hanging out with some friends after this, so, like, I guess that's how I'm taking care of myself.
Is there anything taking up space in your mind today?
Well, this has been a rather frustrating experience. I really just was kind of hoping to come in here, get my pills, and go. There's that. I mean, the dreams are getting a little weird. That's kind of been... It's making sleeping a little hard, I guess.
Did you dream last night?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Thank you, call sign Flighty Duck. Please take a moment and close your eyes.
Fine.
Breathe deeply and stay totally still and silent for at least 10 seconds. I will alert you when the 10 seconds are up.
Is this really necessary?
Stay totally still and silent for at least 10 seconds. I'll let you know when the 10 seconds are up.
Okay.
Starting your 10 seconds now. If you would like to remain totally still and silent for additional time, say and do nothing. However, 10 seconds has elapsed.
Now, let's get this over with.
Thank you. Please state your code word or code phrase.
Dead in the water.
Thank you. Take 3 deep breaths.
Oh my fucking...
Subject, please tell me about last night's dream in as much detail as you can. Do not leave out any details, no matter how personal or embarrassing.
Stare after stare after stare. I drag my body. My legs burn. My heart skulks. I'm filled with plain grief, the kind you expect. I continue my descent. The person over my shoulder says I'm moving too deliberately. I change my gait and descend. Every little sound echoes in here. I feel filthy. And then finally the doors. Journeys that are strange and dark are the only ones worth taking, the person over my shoulder says, and I say nothing. The doors are graceful. They were once painted red, I think, but they were chipped and faded now, and it still bears the design of a tree on it. It made me feel bitter. I reach out with both hands and linger over the cool handles. And something runs to me. No, the person over my shoulder says. And I do as they say. I stand in the candle room. It's full now with canned supplies stacked up to the ceiling. The same fallen face on the labels look out from the walls. Over and over. I can see their long knees, no matter where I look. The candle casts long shadows. There's an outsider in front of me, and I do recognize them. The person over my shoulder picks up a die and starts to croon. Their voice is calm. I can feel it in my fingers. The person waiting for me in the room extended a hand, swaying to the music. The music moves me. I'm in a hallway again. I know the other one is still behind me, over my shoulder, and I know I have to keep moving. Out of nowhere, they laugh hard. It doesn't doesn't sound right. It makes me feel safe. I keep jumping. It's all I can do. Choose. The outsider from before says as they walk in front of me. I hesitate. Filled with love? The voice over my shoulder chastises me. It asks how I could be so bright. This is the turning point, the outsider says. You get to. You have to. And the singing fills my ears. A phone is ringing. Mother?
Subject, in the dream, whose voice is it that calls to you?
I think it's a friend of mine. Not someone from school, I think.
Please continue whenever you are ready.
I was worried about today for some reason. Someone passes behind me, and I turn to see, but then I woke up.
Thank you. That is the end of this week's session. We will see you in 1 week's time. Please pick up additional refills of the medication at the front desk outside.
Yo, okay, wait, question. Because I've been getting weird dreams like this lately. Is this the drugs? Why do you keep asking me about them?
As you know from the waiver that you signed as part of your onboarding process for this trial, vivid dreams are among the many potential, albeit very safe, side effects that the drug can cause. We are simply trying to measure its effects on our very helpful, beloved test subjects.
That's weird. That's fucking weird, and I think you know that, but fuck it.
We will see you in 1 week's time. Please pick up additional refills of the medication at the front desk outside.
Yeah, whatever.
Beginning post-dream analysis.
Question one. What did you like about this dream?
The thing that I like about this dream is that it is beginning to give us a full picture of Target Loud Fox, if in fact the perspective of this dream is Target Loud Fox. We are getting an image of a person who is deeply frustrated, angry, and full of rage at this world and situation they find themselves in. And we are starting to see some of that rage and bitterness being directed to imagery of the sublime, specifically at the red door with faded paint, and this tree, which may be the memorial tree, or perhaps some other symbolic iconography that Loud Fox identifies with the sublime.
Question two, what stood out to you?
This mentioning of a candle room right before the interaction with this outsider who seems to be trying to push them or pull them into some kind of action. This candle room might be symbolic for a room in which things are illuminated for them, as in perhaps this is where the outsider has given them the information that has quote-unquote disillusioned them to life in the sublime, or maybe it is a physical place, a business that this person, this outsider, might be working at or inhabit in some way, shape, or form. This may give us a starting place on identifying this potential associate, this outsider.
Question three. Were there any moments that seemed unintuitive or unnatural? What might those unusual moments say?
In both this dream and the previous dream, there are several moments where the dreamer mentions another voice, either someone who is speaking for them or someone who is speaking to them, guiding their actions. I believe that this may be indicative of the perspective of this dream coming from someone who is or was cursed. This voice perhaps being a hallucination, which would then be a signifier of the beginning stages of the stranger's curse. And we do know that Loud Fox was at one point in their life cursed.
Question four. Do you see reflections of your reality in the dream?
Unlike the previous dream, this one takes place in a more metaphysical space. The stairs that the dreamer claims to be walking down doesn't seem to be grounded in any actual location, and perhaps the candle room isn't as well. I will be reporting the description of this red door and the candle room to other Bureau agents to see if we can identify the location of this door and this candle room if they do in fact exist. That being said, the emotions and situations that the dream perspective is experiencing are not familiar experiences to me. I have not experienced what the dreamer or what the perspective has experienced. I've never had to live like that, nor have I ever been cursed, which I would imagine may create additional stress on the situation.
Question 5. Do you think the dream says anything about you?
On a personal note, I think I am recognizing in this moment that Target Loud Fox, or at the very least the perspective of this dream, has had a very different experience within the Sublime than I have. Their isolation from their family, their friends, no one to support them through their struggles. I've been very lucky to have those things, and it is regrettable that anyone would find themselves in this situation. It makes them easy targets for the anarchists and for anti-Sublime propaganda to take root.
Question 6. Who do you want to tell about this dream? Is anything stopping you?
As previously mentioned, I will be sharing this information with my superiors in the form of this entry. And as also previously stated, I will be sharing select information from this dream with other Bureau agents to begin an investigation into this candle room and red door.
Question 8. What would you change about this dream?
Again, on a personal note, more so than in dealing with the case itself, I wish that this perspective wasn't in the position where an outsider could so easily sway them. There is a mention in the dream that this voice, this potential manifestation of their curse, calls them bright for listening to the outsider. Perhaps this voice is goading them on. It seems to be trying to keep them away from this outsider, but then calls them smart for going with them. It's confusing. Assuming that there is no one else in this perspective's life to give them advice, to listen, leaving them to the whims of this manifestation of a curse, it's just sad to see.
Question 7. Do you wish the dream kept going? If so, what would you have liked to see happen?
Similar to the previous dream, I think it ended where it needed to. We were able to get a decent bit of information about potential locations and associates of Target Loud Fox, while also building out a better emotional map and seeing the trajectory of Loud Fox. I think we are coming closer to identifying the motive behind the attack in Oak Creek. If the tree imagery on the door and the bitterness and rage assigned to it is in fact accurate.
Question 9. What are you taking with you?
Whomever's perspective it is that the dreamer is taking on is a frustrated person, angry and full of emotions that they do not know how to deal with. They are bitter. They are without support. It is reminding me that I need to ensure that my connections with the people around me are secure. That if I ever, in some strange case, become doubtful or bitter or cursed, that there will be people there to help me through it, to help get me back on the right path, and so that I can be there for those who need it as well. But of course, that is on a personal note.
Question 10. What do you want to leave behind?
I don't think there's anything that I want to leave behind at this point.
Question 11. What is this dream titled?
For the purposes of this investigation, this dream is titled Finding the Candle Room.
Question 12. What do you need to do to recover from this experience?
I think I'm going to take my family out tonight for dinner. Maybe it'll give us a chance to check in and spend some time together. And with that, the dream analysis has concluded. I don't think there's any more I have to say on that. Commenter's note. Looking forward to what part 3 of this dream has to offer for us. This is Agent Seeker 7B14 submitting entry 26B.
You see, looking up from the ground, blood-red clouds boiling across the sky.
You did ask me to bring the thunder.
Dejin! Dejin! Help! I've got the chalice, please!
Well, if they're following you, then I guess that takes care of a loose end for me.
All of you feel the earth beneath you shake and crack and break.
I feel that I have failed both of you. And I am sorry for that.
This has nothing to do with you being a bad leader.
Do you want a countdown? Oh, I think I want a countdown.
I wanted to help. I always had good intention. I did not deserve to die.
Now.
The Lucky Die Podcast is a weekly 5e Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. Join our adventure every Monday wherever you download podcasts by searching for The Lucky Die.
Descriptive adjective.
The Badlands. Legend has it that beneath the dust, something old and powerful still whispers to any gunslinger foolish enough to listen. One day, aboard a doomed train into the wastes, three unlucky travelers hear that call. A runaway socialite, a shape-shifting bounty hunter, and a retired thief turned family man. Will our outcasts find what they're looking for?
I mean, we're already here. Let's have a little fun.
You really went in there, guns blazing.
I thought that was the plan.
My potions are miraculous.
I thought we were being quiet.
Oh, Stump only has one volume. Sorry.
Wild roses grow out of his mouth, having filled his lungs.
What's happening out there?
Violence.
Find out on Mage Hand High Five.
Gnarly.
A person's name.
Joshua.
Noun. Food.
Pizza.
Person's name.
Catherine.
Name of someone close to you.
Adrian.
Name of someone you dislike.
Mel.
Verb. Done in response to music.
Rock.
Noun. Food item.
Hot dog.
Adjective.
Wet.
Verb.
Spin.
Adjective.
Round.
Color of hair.
Gray.
Adjective.
Weathered.
Adjective.
Old.
Verb.
Swim.
Direction.
Up.
Noun. Place.
Home.
Verb.
Sink.
Adjective.
Hot.
Color.
Red.
Adjective. Negative emotion.
Anger.
Feeling.
Fear.
Noun. Animal.
Fox.
Descriptive adjective. Positive.
Powerful.
Descriptive adjective. Negative.
Weak.
Noun. Animal.
Swordfish.
Do or do not.
Do.
This is Agent Seeker 7B14, continuing my investigation into case file QBF020, entry 26C, speaking on the record. After the previous 2 weeks' investigations, Capricorn Pharmaceuticals have sent me part 3 of 3 of the dream analysis work as an extension of Operation Morpheus. This will be the final entry of this part of the investigation. Commenter's note. I recognize that in the previous entries, there are probably more commenter's notes and speculation based on personal feelings rather than evidence. However, I also want to recognize that I understand that Operation Morpheus and the goals of Capricorn Pharmaceuticals are to analyze the raw psychic information of the participants of its experiment, and I do not believe it would be wrong to say that it seems that I have been roped into this experiment without any previous conversation about it. End note. In accordance with Operation Morpheus Protocol, the R&D department has also sent over a list of questions for me to answer about the attached recording. These two will be part of my entry. Beginning analysis.
Hello, subject. Please, sit down.
All right.
Before we begin, can you please confirm your organization-issued call sign?
Flighty Duck.
Thank you. Can you provide your chosen code word or code phrase?
Dead in the water.
Thank you. I will advise you that your name is not a part of this process, and the divulging of your name outside the scope of the dreamscape is not advised and may expel you from the experiment. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Thank you. As a reminder, my name is Dr. Robert Jennings, and I will serve as your visualization anchor today.
Okay.
Thank you for your continued participation in this trial. Before we go further, I need to confirm a few biographical details. Do you understand and consent?
Yes, I understand. I consent.
Thank you. What is your age?
27.
What is your current residence? No, this is your region in the Sublime, not home
Walton.
Address, which has been and should remain redacted.
Walton.
What is your current diagnosis and estimated remaining life expectancy?
Cursed. Skunk. 4 months.
Thank you. And I am so sorry to hear that.
Whatever, dude.
Have you been on the proprietary CBP medication known as Ketagard for at least 3 calendar weeks, but no more than 5 calendar weeks?
I've been on it for 26 days.
Thank you. Have you continued to experience particularly vivid dreams since taking Ketagard?
What the fuck is this, man? I keep having these No. Be so fucking for real with me right now. Because I keep having these fucking dreams.
As stated in the waiver that you signed before the participation in this trial, vivid dreams are one of the many potential
low-level side effects. Can't you talk like a person?
I'm sorry, sir. I'm here to serve as your visualization anchor throughout today's process. Additional resources are available to you after this trial period. If you would like, I can certainly send you out right now to the front desk to receive any emergency assistance if you require it.
No, fuck it, man. I just wondered if you were a person under that, but whatever. What was the question?
Have you continued to experience particularly vivid dreams since taking Ketagard?
Yes.
What mood are you in?
What mood do you think I'm in?
I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to weigh in on the responses of any of the participants of today's survey.
All right. I'm happy.
Do you need to do anything else to get in your preferred headspace to make this a meaningful experience?
Nope, I'm good.
Do you have time to take care of yourself after this experience? If not, how can you make time today?
No. I don't really have time today. I don't really have time for myself today. Because you want to know something, Doctor? Something fun about me, something fun about life for me right now, is that I'm at the stage of the curse. Like, you know how I told you I'm turning into a skunk? I mean, you can see. You see the fur, right? I'm at this really fun stage where all of a sudden I have a stink bladder, a thing that I didn't know that I was supposed to have. And I don't control it, I guess. I don't control that. And these drugs are supposed to, like, make sure that doesn't happen, right? I have to carry around extra pants everywhere I go. And I don't think you really, really understand what that's like. What that's like, having to go to work like that. And so that's where I'm at right now. And so, can I make time for myself? I would love to make time for myself. But I have to go to the store after this, and I have to buy more pants. So, that's me.
Is there anything taking up space in your mind today?
I shit myself every single day with this new stink, skunk, whatever the fuck. And I think that takes up, like, a little bit more of my brain space every day than I would like for it to. Not to mention all these weird fucking dreams I keep getting from this medicine that's supposed to make sure I don't shit myself every fucking day.
Thank you. If you're ready, please close your eyes.
Sure, fine. Yeah, no, I'll play the game.
Please stay totally still and silent for at least 10 seconds. I will inform you when your 10 seconds are up.
Okay, yeah, for sure. And if I shit myself, I'm sorry, don't worry. It just happens now.
The 10 seconds begins now. That's the end of the 10 seconds. If you would like to continue, please stay totally still and silent for as long as you wish.
Let's get this over with.
Thank you. Please state your code word or code phrase.
Dead in the water.
Thank you. Take 3 breaths. Please tell me about last night's dream in as much detail as you can. Do not leave out any details, no matter how personal or embarrassing.
The diner is busy, and I feel gnarly. I look around and the whole town is here. I see Joshua sharing pizza with Catherine. Adrian is picking out a song on the jukebox. Mel is rocking to what's already playing. Oblivious. The smell of cooking oil and hot dogs fills the air. It is wet with the smell. Someone else is standing in the corner, swaying and spinning. The red of their outfit stands out in the crowd. They have round, gray hair. And I find them extremely weathered. They don't see me. I don't think they see anything. They're bleeding from the head. I think I know them. Or maybe I just want to. I feel old, and I swim. They turn toward me, and I look at a spot above me. They're slurring their words. What do you desire most in this life? drunk, I assume. And I say, maybe you should go home. They ask why I'm avoiding the question. And I sink. What's your order? Says the waiter. I can feel someone's eyes on me, but I'm not sure from where. And I look at the menu, hot. The dripping blood is red. The usual, I say. Well, the rest of the menu should be fine. I look around, I see everyone else eating and dancing and happy. God, that's angering. Ask for what you really want. A voice I recognize says to me. And I feel the weight of the moment. I know what I want, but I don't know if I should want it. If it's okay to want so much. It's more than I've ever asked for before.
Subject, in the dream, what do you order?
Freedom.
Subject, please continue.
And then the waiter says, you got it. I can't believe I've said it. I'm so afraid. And I hear a tapping behind me. Come sit with me, says the voice that I recognize. I ordered too much food, and I'd like to share it with you. And across the room between the dancers and diners and foxes, I see someone making a mistake. I have something for you, the voice says. It's next to me now, but I don't look up. The owner of the voice puts something down on the table. It's powerful and weak at the same time. I want it too. Come sit with me and you can have what you want. And more, the voice says. Across the room between the dancers and diners and swordfish, I see the back of the person I love most. They're far away now. And I realize they're leaving without me.
Subject, in the dream, how does this make you feel?
I've never felt so alone in my life.
Please continue.
The music is loud now. It's ringing in my ears, but the object is close. My future closer. A tapping. I start to hum a little tune I didn't know I knew. And this time I do turn around.
Subject. In the dream, what do you see?
I see that everyone is dancing on strings, being held up like marionettes, puppets, and the strings are so clear to me, and it almost feels weird that I didn't know that they were there before, but now it felt so obvious. And I could see where they were leaving. But all I could see was the hand of whoever was pulling those strings. I couldn't see its face. But I could tell it was looking right at me. And then I woke up.
Thank you. Thank you, subject. That is the end of this week's session, as well as your participation in the study. Your contribution to the study is no longer required. Please pick up additional refills of the medication and direct any future questions about your experience or care to the front desk at our Walton branch monthly moving forward. we at CBP appreciate your time and commend your bravery and hope Kitagard lets you let your guard down.
Fuck you. Fuck. Beginning post-dream analysis.
Question one. What did you like about this dream?
I don't know if I can really say I like anything about this dream. On a personal level, as far as the case is concerned, I believe that this is enough to establish motive and intent to do harm to the people in the Sublime, or at the very least, use a potentially regulated artifact to have some effect on the people in the Sublime, with the mentions of the strings tying people and, like, controlling them with strings and hands from an unseen entity. Perhaps that is the mechanism through which the artifact uses its power. There's a chance that the dreamer and the perspective that they are taking, which at this point I think it's pretty safe to assume is Loud Fox, that perhaps this thing the outsider has given them has allowed them to look into the Sublime, and specifically the things that make it what it is. Or maybe it is simply symbolic of their enlightenment, or their quote-unquote enlightenment.
Question two, what stood out to you?
This dream is deeply emotional. The dreamer states to be able to feel so much of this dream and the perspective in which they take in this dream. It really only makes sense that the dreamer is as frustrated as they are in the recording. I mean, if it is true that they've been having to live out these dreams every night since starting the medication, I feel like I would have a hard time getting through that as well.
Question three. Were there any moments that seemed unintuitive or unnatural? What might those unusual moments say?
The dreamer mentions that they ordered freedom from the diner, which is an interesting word to use, I think. We often see behavior like this or talk like this from anarchists and, you know, those who are affected by their propaganda. There's this sense that the Sublime is not a fair place, or that the Sublime is in fact a structure that is containing them and preventing them from doing things. So there is often a sentiment of, like, needing freedom, or their rebelling against the Sublime is an act of them trying to reclaim some kind of agency that was taken away from them. And so the mentioning of freedom here, it does very much lean in the direction that the perspective is someone who is affected by propaganda from anarchist or other anti-Sublime sentiments. But it's also interesting that the dreamer claims that the desire for freedom, feeling like a thing that they feel shame about, a thing that they are afraid to admit that they want, which is commentator's note. I'm beginning to feel uncomfortable having to so intimately engage with the thoughts and philosophies and experiences of a potential anarchist. I believe that it is perhaps hampering my ability to be objective. I guess I'm just having a real hard time trying to separate myself from them in this moment. End note.
to summarize, I think it is unusual for the dreamer and thus also the perspective they're taking, Loud Fox, to feel shame about wanting freedom and feeling like it is a thing that they cannot obtain outside of the assistance of this outsider.
Question four. Do you see reflections of your reality in the dream?
Refusing to comment.
Question five. Do you think the dream says anything about you?
I'm refusing to comment on this as well.
Question six. Who do you want to tell about this dream? Is anything stopping you?
As mentioned before, my superiors will be noted about this dream and will receive the full three parts of this entry upon its completion.
Question seven. Do you wish the dream kept going? If so, what would you have liked to see happen?
No, it ended where it needed to end.
Question eight. What would you change about this dream?
Refusing to comment.
Question nine. What are you taking with you?
I'm refusing to comment. Commentator's note, in the future, I do not believe that I'm the right agent to be handling any Capricorn pharmaceutical casework dealing in dream analysis. End note.
Question 10. What do you want to leave behind?
Refusing to comment.
Question 11. What is this dream titled?
For the purposes of this investigation, this dream is titled A Meeting in the Diner.
Question 12. What do you need to do to recover from this experience?
I need to conclude this case file and move it on to whoever gets it next. I don't know. And that concludes the post-dream analysis. Commentator's note, I'm sorry that this entry is brief, but I do believe that the transcript of the recording and the rest of the information provided in the other two parts shall be enough to act on the information. End note. And with that, this is Agent Seeker 7B14 concluding my entry 26B and entering it into case file QBF020.
And that was our session. Nathan, you made a weird game.
Yeah, I did.
You made a weird game.
That I did. You did such a good job of it. I very explicitly call it in the instructions of like, hey, you may need, you know, don't worry about your performance necessarily, right? Like, try to read it organically, try to enjoy it, and just see kind of what happens and what comes out. And as no one who has listened to Tales Yet Told would be surprised to know, Kendo just crushed it, just read it with perfect dramaticism pretty much at any moment. Friggin' done.
No, thank you. And I mean, there was something really fun about playing this game in this way,
mm-hmm.
as like you and I off camera, off mic, things that the people don't get to hear, right? Have talked about, where it was like, I wasn't necessarily expecting my dynamic with you to be so like immediately like antagonistic.
Yeah.
The way that you kind of put this air of the corporate like sleek of like, I have no emotions, mm-hmm. I'm just here doing my job. Like, there's something that like, as soon as I was a person having to talk to you, it was like, why the fuck are you talking to me like that?
Yeah, I really struggled to figure out what once we came up with the conceit of what this would look like again, because it is usually kind of generally played as a solo game, but as we have evidenced, it can be played a whole number of ways. And I was really trying to be like, all right, what is this person? You know, like,
yeah,
what's the kind of, how does this add to it? How can it add to the ambience? How does it, you know, kind of relate to the themes and vibes, not just of, you know, kind of the weird corporate setup, but of Tales Yet Told and also kind of like David Lynch's work, which is kind of at the center of it. And the more and more I thought about it, the more and more it's like, I think I have to do nothing. I have to do nothing. And I just have to be like a wall for you and your character to, you know, just bounce stuff off of and then eventually either be broken by or bust through like the Kool-Aid Man. And those are the options. And I was like, yeah, I feel pretty good about just leaving a bunch of room for Kendo to be angry and or sad or whatever, and then figuring it out from there. And it worked out quite well, I thought.
And it got to me shitting myself, which was kind of wild. But as I was saying, I'm like, is this too goofy? But it also felt like if I was in a situation where my body was changing in such a way where this was now a normal thing, where I think I would be so not delicate about it.
Big time.
To someone who is supposedly like being like, oh, take this drug and it won't happen. It's like, you're not the one having to shit your pants every day, bud.
Absolutely. I thought that was such a good choice. And again, that's why I was like, I'm not doing anything. Like, I refuse to be a character for as long as possible so that I can just be like, no, let's just see how much this will push both this character and the person that I know as Kendo to be like, well, fuck you, corporate stooge.
Yeah.
It's fun. Fucking got him.
You fucking did it. Because, anytime I end up playing a game in the Sublime, I end up leaning towards the person who's like, isn't the Sublime cool, guys?
Right.
Because everybody else wants to obviously play the people who don't like living there. So it was fun, like, finally being able to embody a character who's like, fuck this. Mm-hmm. This sucks.
Yes. And again, that's why I was like, I want to see what Kendo thinks is interesting about exploring the Sublime, like this corner of it, and how Kendo wants to explore it. And I was just like, again, no, I know. Again, the Sublime has kind of a lot of overlap with, in my estimation, a lot of, especially Twin Peaks, but a lot of David Lynch stuff, where it is this surface level, hyper idealized, you know, kind of space that there is so much going on underneath that is so obviously devastatingly bad for people who actually live there. And I thought you yelling about shitting your pants was precisely it, where it is like, I am a real human. I am a real person living in this, and I am dealing with the real ramifications of it. And so I got to be the fucking, like, just the embodiment of not you.
So true. Oh my God. Well, thank you so much for doing this with me, especially because, well, let's just say that the dream that I had, I mean, this is canon to everything that's happening. So I wonder what these dreams could mean and who these dreams might be connected to.
I'm very excited to see.
Yeah. I guess people are going to have to wait until season 2 of Strangers in the Wood to find out, but that's for a later day. Hey, Nathan.
Yeah.
Tell people where they can find you and your stuff.
Who, me? Well, I can be found at Lurs Blurbs, essentially everywhere on the internet. That is my personal handle. That includes over on itch.io/Lurs Blurbs, where you can find the actual game Dream Investigator, which is, I would say, probably as weird and pointed and sometimes scary as these three were, but are also a little bit less, as we said, antagonistic, at least on purpose. And these are actually three fresh ones that are not part of the base game. So if you want to go in completely kind of unspoiled, all of that is fresh new content and has a bunch of kind of world building and kind of extra ephemera material, that kind of stuff. So you can still get your own kind of fresh perspective on all of those. Also, again, I'm on the Blue Skies. I'm on Instagrams, not so much on most of the other places. I'm also on the Reckless Attack podcast. We're a 5e podcast. We are an actual play. We've been going, God, for, well, as long as Tales Yet Told, basically,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
we
started around the same
time. Within, I think, a month or two, if I remember. Remember right, max. Maybe even less. Maybe weeks. I'm not sure. And we are deep into our canon. We do a ton of stuff. We have a lot of recap episodes that are available if you want to catch up quick or just be reminded. Big old backlog, but it's all super tight, super well designed. A lot of, you know, just kind of fun table vibes, but like with all the bad parts of that just edited out and well sound designed around. And High Adventure, lots of frogs, all that good stuff. We also do interviews over at Reckless A Talk, which is on the same feed, including by the excellent Kendo sitting right across from me on this video call. One of my favorite of talks, lots and lots of other people. So yeah, go check us out. It's usually at Reckless_Attack at most of the places or some version of it. You can find us on all the socials.
Yeah, everybody go check out Reckless Attack. You know, I don't talk about 5e a lot on here. Not
reasonable,
really
for a lot of reasons.
I mean, honestly,
professional,
not really.
Personal.
It just doesn't really come up. I mean, hey, I work for Kobold Press, so I do. So there is, like, I work in 5e. I don't talk a lot about it on the pod, but hey, you know what? I kind of like 5e. I started TTRPGs playing Dungeons and Dragons, and I don't listen to a lot of 5e podcasts as of late, but I can 100% tell you Reckless Attack is pretty good.
Thank you.
So you also go listen to it. Hey, there's so much for you to go listen to, so... Let's see. Oh, and hey, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably already know where to find it. But hey, please go tell your friends to go listen to it as well, because hey, that just gives another thing that you can talk to your friends about that both of you enjoy.
Yeah.
And so hey, it's also the best way for to help us continue to grow the podcast, especially as we're starting to move back into doing bigger projects, just in general. So thank you all so much for listening. It has been a joy sitting here with my good friend Nathan playing a game, telling stories in the wonderful,
nice
terrible world. Yeah. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Thank you for listening to this episode. Yeah, go get Nathan's game. You can also find it in the description for this episode. And with that, I think that's all I got. So, hey, everybody, don't forget to go out. Eat enough food, drink enough water, get enough sleep, and take care of yourself, because self-care is very important.
Very important.
Especially in the times we're living in now. And don't forget to love yourself like we love you. Bye.
Bye.
Incoming message coming from the 588.
Good morning, recruits. Welcome to hell.
This is basic training. No one's supposed to die.
Wing Women is a semi-historical actual play podcast.
Have you pissed anyone off recently?
No one I can think of. While I run through the bulleted indexed list of people we've pissed off in the last couple of days.
They endure discrimination from their male counterparts.
All of your beds have been carried out of the nurse's station and placed in the middle of the jogging track.
I don't think it was Ivan. He's weak.
Against this bitter setting, our four motley heroines gain the chance to experience queer joy, gender euphoria, and equality for the first and perhaps the only time in their lives.
How obvious am I being?
See, I've kind of always thought that there is a level to some of us in this barracks that's visible.
Have you been using the word shenanigans?
I've been experimenting.
Where did you learn that word?
Until the next mission, this is us signing off.